Today I chat with Kelly, a salon owner here in my hometown of Wellington, New Zealand. I invited her along because she is truly living the dream of running a hugely successful and profitable business. She has a team of 13 and she works in her business no more than 7 hours a week. She's about to launch her online store selling professional hair products to the public. And later this week, she's heading off to Hawaii with her laptop for a planning session on the beach. And she's planning where she sees her future growing in the business. Now, if she was servicing her clients from behind the chair, this reality would not exist for her. I'm excited to invite you to listen to the smart and driven woman's journey.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Hey, Kelly, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Larissa, it's good to be here.
So, Kelly and I have a little bit of history. We both did our apprenticeship here in Wellington about the same time, but I don't think we really knew each other, did we?
No, we sort of knew of each other and, you know, I guess I'd see you in passing, but yeah.
So we did our
apprenticeship later.
That's right. And we've always connected in the hair circles here in Wellington, and I'm really pleased to have you because you've got some amazing stuff and an amazing journey to share with us, and I know it's going to be inspiring all the people that are listening. So why don't you start off with sharing your journey back in Kilburnie?
Back in the day. I guess I'll start when I bought the salon, which was about 17 and a half years ago. And I was pregnant with, I was 3 months pregnant with my first child. And I had no staff, but I just kind of had this firm belief in myself that it'll be fine. I can make it work. And, you know, like I do when I make a lot of decisions, I just kind of thought, well, what's the worst that'll happen? I could probably just put the baby out the back and it'll be fine. And I just instinctively knew it would be okay. And looking back now, I think, God, that's naive, but it probably got me through, you know.
Absolutely.
It really did. And shortly after I bought the salon, I hired this incredible girl who is still with me today, which I'm so, so grateful for. She's amazing. In fact, all of my team are amazing. And lots of them have been with me for a very long time. So that's kind of when I started. And then, you know, so I had small children and trying to juggle a business and all of that. And then about 10 years ago, I thought, oh, I know, I need another challenge. I'm gonna open another salon. And so I found this space, which wasn't a salon. And I thought, oh, yes, I can do it. And so, you know, I threw myself into this this new venture. And it was amazing. It was very successful very quickly. But I think the biggest challenge that I had there was that I found it really difficult to get good staff. Not saying that the staff I had weren't good, but they weren't. There was some transient and just part-timers and a couple of unreliables. That was a big challenge. And then of course I was running between the two salons. And
where was that? Was that close to your head start?
It was in Island Bay for those listeners that know Wellington, which is probably about, you know, 10-minute drive from my original salon. So just the challenges of running between the two salons with, you know, inconsistent team, and it was also a really difficult time in my life because my dad had just passed away. Mm. And I had an 18-month-old child as well as a 5-year-old, and I was all over the show. So I kind of just thought, do you know what? I actually think I just need to go back to one. And I didn't have systems set up. I was a hairdresser just trying to go, you know, between these two salons. And yeah, so that experience actually taught me a lot.
I bet.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. And one, you know, I'm very grateful that I managed to come out unscathed. So I put it on the market, and 6 weeks later it was sold, and I went back to being very content with one salon. Very content.
You know, I never realised that you did that, actually, Kelly.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
It was an awesome experience.
Yeah, I bet. I spent 4 years with two salons as well, and it was really harrowing.
Yeah.
And eventually,
yeah, in fact, as well. Yeah, it's a funny thing, because for me it was, you know, a real aspiration to have more salons. Yeah. And with what I know now, I think I could actually probably cope with doing that.
Yeah.
But then I really was just a hairdresser, in terms of I was a great hairdresser and I enjoyed hairdressing, but I didn't really have the skills to run a business the way that I perhaps do now.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very relieved to have just got one salon.
Well, it's the best way to learn things sometimes, isn't it? Is just get in there, muck it, and give it a go. And the smart people come out having learnt something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And how long ago did you sell that one?
So I probably sold that, it was probably about 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm only just getting over the trauma of that.
So bring us into today. What does business look like for you today? Paint us a picture of your salon.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just lost you there, Larissa.
So bring us into today, and what does business look like for you today?
So business today is quite a different scene. I probably work about 7 hours actually in the salon every week. Many more hours, you know, running the business from home. I don't hairdress anymore. The salon's thriving. There's a team of 13, which is made up of, you know, administration and stylists and apprentices and things. It's quite different from juggling between two salons.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what would you attribute that is your secret to success? What do you think it is that has been the reason that you've come through and built not only a surviving but a thriving business?
So I would say probably that I really believe in looking after my people. You know, whether that be, I always treat people how they want to be treated. Right. I always try to treat them how they would like to be treated. And, you know, often when I'm making decisions about the team, I think, well, how would it feel if I was in their shoes? And I really try to get their perspective. Mm. So that's, I think, been quite integral to my success, and certainly for my my retention of my team. But you know, even my clients, how would it feel from their perspective? How would it be to walk into the salon and be in this space? How would that be? And you know, my suppliers, I know that they would all like to be paid on time. So I really try to just have that perspective, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And I think that for me has probably been, you know, part of my success. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that's great. That's good advice. So you do have some advice to share with us about some of the three key things that have been pivotal to your success. Do you want to share some of those things with us now?
Yeah.
What's your number one?
You are cutting out a little bit on me, but my number one tip for business would probably be, and these are in no particular order, but my number one tip would probably be just to learn. You know, if there's something that you don't know how to do, then try and figure out how you're going to do it. So, you know, I probably, as many hairdressers do, I've struggled with numbers, and you know, understanding profit and loss and budgets and everything, it really did do my head in. So what I decided to do was to get my accountant to basically teach me. And I just feel that, you know, really getting in there and trying to learn just gives you so much kind of belief in yourself. And yeah, you just feel quite empowered then. So I try and learn. If I don't know something that I need to know, then I really try and learn it. And I also try and learn from my mistakes. Mm. And I and I make mistakes, and, you know, but I keep trying things, and, you know, sometimes they're absolute failure. Fortunately, not too bad, but and then other times it's like, yeah, it was a little bit of a failure, but don't worry, I just won't do that again, and I can do this better.
Yeah.
And I read a lot. I try and listen to different bits and pieces. And I really devote my life to learning as much as I can. Yeah.
So I
just keep trying, really.
You talked about getting your accountant to teach you. Mm. So has he taught you and now you do your accounts, or has he taught you but you still delegate that or outsource it? Do tell.
I think you have to play to your strengths, don't you?
Yeah.
So I actually got this advice from Jen Morgan on a course that I did with her last year, or the year before it might have been, but She explained how her accountant was basically her financial controller, and I had kind of bumbled through originally I used to do all my own GST and everything myself, and then I got the accountant to help me with a certain amount more. And then I actually realized, why am I spending all of this time trying to fit this round peg into a square hole? Like, it's not going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm really trying, but do you know what? I'm better to actually use my energy elsewhere. So I have learned that there is some things that I need, some numbers that I need to know, which are, you know, they really help me understand the business better, and they help me work out where I need to focus my attention. But I don't do all of the accounts, no. I still leave it with them. We have a weekly meeting where we go through everything, which is, you know, some weeks really easy for me, and other weeks a little bit more challenging, depending on what's going on for me. And And the other thing I've also learned, kind of secondary to this, is that I'm really good in the morning. So, you know, if the accountant started work at 6 o'clock in the morning, that would be great because my brain is on and sharp as a tack then. But as the day goes by, it just diminishes, really. So by 1 o'clock, I'm pretty rubbish.
I love it. But I want to congratulate you on that, because I think that's really smart. You know, you've learned it to understand it, but you also your strong point, and you delegate it, because I think the thing that stood out for me there is that you understand and appreciate the value of your own time and what, you know, opportunity cost. So if you spent the time doing accounts that actually hurt your brain and it's an administrative job that you don't need to put your attention to.
I think
that's amazing, and it's that kind of attitude that allows you to work 7 hours a week in your business. So good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. I'm excited to hear your next tip.
So I sort of covered this off earlier, but it's around my team. And I just, you know, like I said, I really try to treat them how they want to be treated. And that doesn't mean, you know, lying down and taking whatever they might throw at me. But I do my best to create an environment where they feel supported and their values are kind of met, or, you know, everything kind of aligns and the things that are important to them really kind of click at Head Start. Mm. My team would be my biggest kind of looking after your team and getting in there and really understanding your team and what they need, I think is not only good because you get the retention from them, but also quite powerful when you realize that actually this is what they want. I can help them achieve what they want. And and then it just works for everybody, you know.
So the majority of the time that you spend in the business, which is not a lot, which is an amazing thing, I notice is spent being with your team. I mean, that's kind of really, what you go and do. You're not operational at all.
No, I'm not. So, I find it quite difficult to articulate exactly what I do when I'm in there, because it's, you know, it's not like, oh, I go in and I always do this, or I kind of go with it. And, you know, there's lots of things that I cover off, and I'm just in there helping and supporting them and I guess just, you know, touching them and fluffing them and just looking after them. I mean, there's certainly, you know, I do have meetings and things. You know, we have our well, they have a one-on-one with their manager every week, and they have a one-on-one with me once a month. Mm-hmm. And that's working really well this year. I think it's good. Yeah.
And you have a team meeting? You bring them all together once a week for a team meeting?
Yeah, definitely. So our team meetings, and I'm sure there's probably lots of business owners who, you know, may have had similar experiences to me. But so I try really hard to make the team meetings as, you know, as interesting as possible. And we used to combine it with what we called a family lunch, where we would have every Tuesday I would provide lunch for them, and it would be, you know, paid hour off work. And then we'd have this lunch and then we'd go into the meeting. But I kind of felt that by having that time of eating the lunch and then going into the meeting, they'd be a little bit like, nah. So I separated out the lunch. So we have still our family lunch on a Tuesday, and then on the Thursday we have our team meeting. But I still felt like, yeah, I still don't know if I'm going to get that engagement from them. So I decided that I'd maybe get them to host it. So the salon coordinator puts together the numbers, and then the person who's hosting for that week has, you know, a series of questions and things that they need to fill in. And by doing this, I've found that they have a lot more understanding of what they're talking about, what's going on, of what's actually happening around them. And I just feel like they're a little bit more in tune with it. And it, for me, it's just brilliant because I can just sit there and actually enjoy what's being talked about, or, you know, really encourage them and not be thinking, are you even listening to me right now? You know, so, yes. And they say themselves that they enjoy it. You know, it's safe, you know, it's safe for them to stand up and be the leader for the week. And yeah.
That's awesome. That's good. I think it's really empowering to give them the opportunity to stand up and lead.
Yeah, I think it's not all about you. I don't think they particularly wanted to have the leadership of the team meeting, mm-hmm. but it was kind of forced upon them. And now they're like, actually, do you know what? This is quite cool.
Yeah.
So it's good.
I think that's something to recognise actually because I work with a lot of people moving and encourage them to start staff meetings and do it regularly. Mm. And I think there is this phase that you have to work through and build the culture that it will be really awkward to start with, and people don't necessarily want to participate, and you're going to get a lot of blank faces staring at you, but you have to push through and keep going, because that sort of, I think you said it, safe. It's a safe environment to say what I need to say. You don't just get that on day one. You have to build that over time and keeping it fun, which it sounds like what you do also.
Yeah.
We always
start. We do. Sorry, what was that?
We got a little delay. We always started with an icebreaker, and we delegated that out too, to just to kind of set the mood of, you know, it's not all serious, hardcore business stuff here. We're a team, and you do something like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, they do like, you know, a shout out for anyone else in the team that might have had a win or whatever. But they also talk about their favourite hairdressing experience of the week, which kind of allows them to, you know, talk about, it might not necessarily be a really positive thing, but something that maybe happened that made them laugh or whatever, anything really. And then at the very end, which I maybe could perhaps do this at the beginning, they talk about this week what they're grateful for.
Nice.
Because I think it's really nice to kind of go, do you know what? I'm big on gratitude. Yeah. And then they also have to do a song of their week. Song of the week. So a bit of a Redken thing here. You know, stand up and dance around a table with your arms in the air and feeling like a bit of a plonker, but it's actually quite cool and kind of is their thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it might not be a song that I would choose, and it might not be a song that the next person would choose, but it's their song and it's their meeting and it's their jam, you know? They're just, yeah, it's really cool. And, I really like our team meetings this year.
So the leader or the person that's leading the meeting for that week, that they bring the song at the end and everyone dances to.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it. That's really, really cool. Yeah.
So it kind of coincides with our next client coming in. So often, you know, there's like a song playing really loud and a whole bunch of hairdressers dancing around the table. And they're like, I thought I'd come to Head Start. But actually, it's a circus.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, why don't you tell us your third tip, because it's my favourite of all.
Yes, my third tip is a bit cliche, but I am a massive advocate of this, working on your business, not in your business. Yeah. And this all kind of came about when actually you and I had spoken about me coming off the floor, Larissa, and I was like, I can't, my clients and da-da-da. And then, you know, I'm a firm believer in things happening at the right time and for a reason. And my now husband and I were in New York and it was New Year's, well, it was almost New Year's Eve. And I just stepped off a pavement, rolled my ankle, wasn't drunk, wasn't in heels, which are the two questions I always get asked about that. And consequently broke my heel bone and ended up off the floor for 12 weeks. And so I thought, do you know what? I feel like this is a massive sign that now is the right time. Obviously, I can't work, you know, in the situation. I was in a moon boot. So I feel like, do you know what? This is the right time. And so I spoke to my team and said, this is what I'm thinking. And they were absolutely incredible, really supportive, really just embraced the change. And they all, you know, stepped up. And so it was terrifying, I have to say. But coming off the floor enabled me to really work on my business. And, you know, the biggest thing that I got from it was that I have increased our turnover, yet I'm not on the floor, which, you know, that was my biggest fear, thinking, oh, but, you know, if I'm off the floor, what will happen? Actually, nothing will happen but greatness.
Absolutely. I'm so pleased to hear you say that. My experience was exactly the same. Every time I dropped a day on the floor, the business grew, the income grew, and my team stuck around. You know, that was reason for them to stay. There was a vision for them to follow. And finally, when I it takes a thing sometimes, like your foot. Mine was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be brave to just
And, you know, I don't think I was particularly brave because I kind of just used that excuse of, oh, my foot, but it did kind of push me. And so, you know, in that 12-week period, I had clients that would be coming back at least once or twice and missing out on me doing their hair. So they kind of were forced into somebody else's arms. And I made sure that they were forced into the arms of someone who would look after them and love them. And we kind of created a, you know, it was a very well thought out decision. And I, you know, spent a lot of hours poring over who would look after each particular person and so that they would have the best transition across.
Yeah.
And now they all love their new hairdressers well more than they ever loved me, which I'm very happy for. It's awesome. I just there's one thing, you know, often when I talk to other hairdressers and other salon owners, they say, oh yeah, but I'm just on the floor so much. And I think, well, I wish I'd been braver earlier, because I think my business would have grown and flourished, you know, a lot earlier. But, you know, like I say, everything happens at the right time for a reason, and this is my right time. And
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So I know the next question that's on everybody's mind now. So they're thinking, she's got this amazing growing business. It's thriving. She goes in there 7 hours a week. What does she do with the rest of her time? What? And I think, I mean, it's a silly question when you say it like that, but you know what? I know that there's this gap. Okay. So I'm not doing clients. What else do I do? What do I spend? What do I do with that time? I mean, I know this because a lot of people ask me. So tell me some of the things. You've got an exciting project that's on the boil. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, it's a bit of a funny sequence of events, really. My my husband has spent, you know, 20 years or whatever in a corporate background, loved it. And we, you know, like I say, we both read a lot, and we just decided that, you know, life is for living, and let's just start to see if we can change our lifestyle so he's not traveling so much and working in horrible stresses and stuff. Although, you know, the company that he worked for was absolutely amazing and he loved working for them, there was still this kind of immense corporate pressure. which so we kind of decided, look, you know, we don't want to have that kind of lifestyle. So we talked about what we could do together. He's a really super smart man. And so we decided to set up an online store selling hair product.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our baby that we're working on at the moment, going live on the 15th of March, just a wee plug there. and we are just trying to grow the business more in that kind of aspect at the moment rather than the salon, although, you know, the salon is always going to need lots of work and, you know, I'm still 100% focused on that. There's this other thing that's kind of on the burner there. So what else do I do apart from that? That's my big thing at the moment.
Well, I
have a weekly with my... Oh, no, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the key point, I think, is because you're freed up from operations, you have the space, well, two things. One, you have the space to create and think, what else can you do? How else can you grow your business? And you That's have right. the time to develop that and to push forward with the next great thing. You know, it's bigger than just the interaction with your client one-on-one. You can actually grow your business. And I think, you know, when yeah. you're tied up with your client, you can't always see that.
Oh, definitely not. And, yeah. and you don't know what you don't know. You know, you kind of just like, oh.
Sorry, that's my beautiful dog who is barking at the man at the door. We'll ignore him.
That's right, yeah. So what else do I work on? I work on marketing.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time plotting out what we're going to do on the socials. Like I said, I have a weekly meeting with my accountant. Yeah. We talk about the numbers and then the numbers will then, you know, perhaps transfer to what I need to do with the marketing. I work on the team stuff. I work on the big stuff. There's lots of little bits and pieces are sort of always on the go.
So I think,
at the moment we're kind of working on the store.
Yeah. So it's not... it's not that you've freed yourself up to go and drink wine all afternoon.
No, definitely not.
I'm sure you'd love to do that. It's that you've freed yourself from operations to work and grow the business.
That's absolutely it. And I, you know, often say, God, I find it really difficult to articulate what I do because there's lots of bits and pieces, but the end result is that the business is growing and that's, you know, done by all of these different things. So, yeah.
And you've got the space to create something like your new online store, which, you know, we otherwise do. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, who knows what I'm going to be doing next. There'll be something else that'll kind of come to me and I'll think, right, that's what I'm going to do. And, yeah.
And you are. You've got another little side project as well that we haven't talked about that you have the time to invest in also.
That's right. Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, as we work towards wrap up, I would love for you to share with us, do you have a quote or a mantra or something that, you know, keeps you going as an entrepreneur? Because, I, you know, often when you're, when it's your business, you're the one that kind of at the top of the pile and, you know, you can't always engage with your team at that level. What keeps you going as a business owner and entrepreneur?
I start every day feeling very grateful, you know, and I really, I think it's really important to be grateful for all of the stuff that we have in our lives, particularly, you know, where we live. I always count my blessings. And I'm a firm believer in it's, I got this from Dr. Libby actually, and I just love this. And this is kind of my mantra for everything at the moment, but, it's not what you do once in a while that makes a difference. It's what you do every day. So, you know, if you're going to eat rubbish food all of the time, then that's going to really massively impact you.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm finding it difficult to articulate what I mean by that.
But that makes that makes sense in itself, you know?
Yeah.
It's what you do every day is what you become. I think that's
it really is. So, I'm always kind of working on my business and, giving it heaps, really. rather than sitting around and working on it once in a while.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
great. Yeah.
So what about, you know, you're a big learner. What of the many things that you've read or listened to, what's something that you can suggest for everyone who's listening today? What's something that they need to listen to, read, or find?
Okay, so I've got a few here. The one book, well, there's one book that had a really profound effect on me a long time ago when I read it. And I think everyone in business should read this. It's The A-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Yeah.
You know, just it's that whole working on your business, not in your business. That is basically it in a nutshell, in there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great book. Another book that had probably had the biggest impact on my whole life was a book called Brilliant Life by another Michael Heppel this time. And he's a British man who I think is incredible. It just, the way that the book is kind of structured, you go through every different area of your life and then you drill down into to quite a granular level. So it makes you look at your life in a holistic view, from a holistic viewpoint, but really getting down to the nuts and bolts of it. And, you know, when I can, I'm going to buy that book for everybody I know, because I think if they take the time to work through it, you can get some absolute pearls out of there. Mm. And it's a very, very good book. And the final one, I've got one more.
Yes, please.
Was, I love Tim Ferriss, and he wrote a book called The 4-Hour Workweek, which I actually, my husband bought and read, and that was kind of what kickstarted us, you know, or him coming away from the whole corporate thing. But I struggled to read it, so I ended up buying the audio version and listened to it when I was out running or walking. And I cannot recommend this book enough. I think it is an incredible book. So it was, they're my books. I think go and get them, get amongst
fantastic. I've got to say, The E-Myth was a pivotal book in my business also. And again, right from quite early on, like yourself, always the driver or the ethos of how I ran my business. And Tim Ferriss for me was a more recent, I mean, I don't think he wrote it that long ago. I haven't read Brilliant Life, so I will be searching that one out.
Oh, I perhaps need to give you my copy. It's a great book. It's an awesome book, Larissa. And I think if, you know, if that would be a real nugget, if people could go and read that book and have a, you know, bit of a dig around into themselves, you'll just see where your strengths are and what kind of stuff is worth focusing on and what's not.
And awesome. I think, you know, like you said, it's having a holistic or a higher sort of view of your whole life and what's actually important to you in the long run.
Yeah, totally.
Digging down to what's important helps you make better decisions about what you will and won't invest your time in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. I think it's really important to value your time and not waste it with people who are toxic or doing things that are just either wasting your time or not going to make you feel good about yourself.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you so much for joining me today. I was really excited to have you because, you know, you're doing it. You know, you're out there leading the pack and running your business without ruining yourself with billions of hours. So I take my hat off to you. Well done.
And
thanks for sharing all your wisdom with everybody. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Now, where can people stalk you? Because people are going to want to know, who is this Kelly? Give us your dub dub. Give us your dub dub.
So the salon is www.headstarthere.co.nz. And our Facebook page is Head Start Hair. Instagram, we are Head Start Hair Design, all one word. And then I'm Kelly.Oliver. So go and have a sticky beak and
That's awesome. Thank you so much again.
All right, Larissa, take care.
Bye. So there you have it. Kelly's business has thrived since she made that very deliberate decision to get out from behind the chair and focus on the growth of her business and free herself up some space in her life, even, you know, for the next adventure. and free from that feeling of being chained to the monster that you've created. That's certainly how I felt. Anyway, I've created this monster and now I have to feed it. And as you may well know, I'm a business coach, and it's a topic that I not only feel is really important, as I experienced it in my own journey, but to fast-track growth. It's a topic that comes up a lot when I'm coaching the salon owners that I work with. And that's why I've created the Salon Owners Collective Mastermind. And I spend a lot of time with you working to fast-track growth, but also to make the right strategic choices, ensuring profitability and providing you the tools and resources to save you having to reinvent the wheel. And of course, I have a big focus on creating a little space in your life, not only to grow the business and get out from behind the chair and grow that business, but also to have a life outside of working, whether that's for your family or just for yourself, rather than only slogging your guts out. We have one life to live. So if that resonates with you and the journey that you're on, and you're keen to join me in the Salon Owners Collective Mastermind launching in March, please reach out to me. I'm at larissa@salonownerscollective.com, or you can message me through Facebook, of course, or through the website, and I'll certainly put a link at the bottom of this podcast. So thank you so much for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.